evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is a Friday. Inamu ya mama peko koporesi, please. Ngeshingata nlombu rambono. And also in and all of that, guys, please, we don't want that one. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. But before that, andia to your PPND.
She found the file by accident. She wasn't snooping. She wasn't suspicious. She just needed to borrow his laptop for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And in those 5 minutes, her whole marriage appeared on his screen in 7 pages, formatted, professional, filed under drafts, like she was a problem he had been quietly solving. She read every word. Then she closed the laptop, made dinner, smiled across the table, and said absolutely nothing for 3 months. My people, this woman didn't just leave. She dismantled everything, quietly, legally, completely, while still ironing his shirts. Stay with me, because this story is about to change the way you think about silence. And if you appreciate stories where wisdom moves quietly but powerfully, go ahead and like this video. It helps this story reach someone who might need it. Subscribe to Echoes of Wisdom by Crystal so you never miss a lesson that hides inside ordinary moments. Now, let me show you how she did it. They say, in the village of our ancestors, the tortoise never ran fast, but he always arrived first. Today, I want to tell you a story, not from a village with dusty roads and evening fires, but from a city with glass buildings, designer bags, and a marriage that looked perfect on Instagram. Listen carefully, because this story is not about a woman who cried. This is about a woman who calculated. Her name was Adaeze Okunko Briggs, but everyone called her Ada. 34 years old, a quiet storm in heels, she ran a thriving interior design business from their home in Lekki Phase 1, Lagos, the kind of house that made your neighbors slow their cars down just to look. 4 bedrooms, a swimming pool, a gate that hummed when it opened like it knew it was important. Her husband was Emeka Briggs. Tall, charming, the kind of man who shook hands with both palms and made you feel chosen. He worked in oil and gas, senior contracts manager at a multinational firm downtown. He wore Tom Ford cologne and drove a black Range Rover like the road owed him something. What almost nobody knew, not even Ada, not yet, was that the Range Rover was not fully his. It was on a 4-year hire purchase agreement, 3 installments behind. The payments were quietly bleeding a man who spent like he owned the river but had not yet paid for the bucket. They had been married 5 years. They had a daughter, Zara, 4 years old, who had Ada's mother's eyes and her father's stubbornness. On the surface, they were goals. On Instagram, hashtag Briggs family was a mood board. But Ada had not been truly happy in 2 years. She told herself every marriage had seasons, that the distance between them was just stress, that when Emeka stopped reaching her at night, it was the job pressure, that when his phone started sleeping face down on the nightstand, it was nothing. She told herself stories, beautiful, comfortable lies, until the day of the laptop. It was a Tuesday, a regular, unremarkable Tuesday. Ada's MacBook had crashed mid-presentation. A client was waiting on her mood board for a Banana Island renovation project. Emeka was at work. His personal laptop sat on his desk in the study, charging. She'd used it before. He'd never said anything. She carried it to the dining table, opened it. His wallpaper was a photo of the three of them, Zanzibar trip, 2 years ago. She remembered that trip. The sun said, how he'd held Zara on his shoulders and laughed so hard he nearly fell into the sea. She smiled at the photo. Then she opened Microsoft Word to work on her document. The recent files column appeared on the left side of the screen. Most of it was work stuff, contracts, reports, Excel sheets. But one file, The last one opened had a name that made Ada's fingers stop moving. Draft Divorce Petition Emeka Anadaize Briggs .docx. She stared at it. For a moment, the whole world went quiet. The air conditioning felt louder. The clock on the wall ticked like a drum. Open it. Don't open it. Open it. She clicked. And there it was. 7 pages. Formatted. Professional. He had cited irreconcilable differences. Highlighted in yellow were notes he'd made to himself. Confirmed Lagos property agreement. Checked joint account clause. Asked Tunde about custody arrangement. Tunde was his lawyer friend from university. There was even a list, a handwritten photograph he had scanned and inserted into the document, titled Things to Sort Before Filing. It had checkboxes. Some were already ticked. She stared at the document. And for a moment, she wasn't in this Lekki house. She was in a small flat in Surulere 7 years ago. Emeka had just proposed. They were broke, really broke, eating Indomie on a mattress on the floor because the bed frame hadn't arrived yet. He had looked at her with those eyes, the ones that used to see her, and said, I'm going to build something with you. Not for you, with you. You and me, Ada. We're going to be the kind of couple people write about. And she had believed him. She had believed every word. Ada blinked. The memory dissolved. She was back in the Lekki house, the one she had helped him buy, the one he was now planning to take from her. The man who had made that promise was gone. She didn't know when he left, but this man, the one who wrote divorce petitions in secret, she didn't recognize him at all. Ada photographed every single page of the document with her phone, quietly, carefully, date-stamped. Her hand shook on the first screenshot, just once, just slightly. Then it steadied. She closed the document, closed the laptop, sat in the silence of her beautiful Lekki home, and did not cry. She did not cry. She picked up her phone, opened her notes app, and typed one single word, plan. Here is what you need to understand about Adaize Okonkwo Briggs. She was the last born of 6 children, but she grew up watching. In her father's compound in Anambra, she watched how the first wife was ousted when she stopped being useful. She watched her mother, a seamstress, turn a 200 naira into a 2000 naira over and over until she could put all 6 children through school. She watched women smile through pain and plan through silence. She did not cry. She called her sister, Chisom, that evening, not to tell her anything, just to hear a calm voice. How are you? Chisom asked. Fine, just tired. And then she got to work. The first thing she did was call her accountant, Mr. Femi, under the pretense of doing quarterly tax filings for her business. While they spoke, she asked a casual question. Femi, if someone wanted to restructure a joint business account, remove one signatory, how long does that take? Depends on the bank. Some do it same day with the right documents. Others take a week. Which bank is fastest? Femi paused. Then, because he was a smart man who had seen many things, he said very quietly, Come to my office Thursday. Bring your business registration documents. She brought everything. By the following Monday, Ada's interior design business, Adaize Interiors Ltd., was fully transferred back to her maiden name, Adaize Okonkwo. Sole signatory. Emeka's name, which had been a co-director for tax purposes, was quietly removed. It took 6 days. Emeka never noticed. Why would he? He never involved himself in her business affairs. He always said it was her little hobby. Her little hobby had been bringing in 4.5 million naira a month for the past 2 years. The joint savings account came next. It held 18 million naira. Most of it, Ada knew, was money she had contributed over the years. Her design fees, her commissions, her quiet, steady drip of income into a pool he controlled. She didn't touch it immediately. She was too smart for that. Instead, she began monitoring, setting up transaction alerts on her phone,
watching every movement. And what she saw chilled her. Emeka had already been draining it. Small withdrawals at first, 300,000 naira here, 500,000 naira there. Then bigger ones, ATM withdrawals from a branch in Victoria Island she had never visited. Two transfers she did not recognize to an account that was not his salary account. He was already moving the money. He had started before he even told her. Ada felt something harden in her chest. Not hot, not anger, something colder than both. She began transferring money in small, unnoticeable amounts. 200,000 naira here, 150,000 naira there, into a personal account she had opened at a different bank entirely. An account Ada did not know existed. She called it her fabric account, the one she pretended to use to pay suppliers. Within 3 weeks, Emeka had quietly taken 7 million naira from the joint account. Ada had retrieved 6.8 million naira of what remained.
Cyber threats are no longer just an IT problem. They are a risk to our national security and the core of our economy. Join various leaders and industry stakeholders at the 3rd Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibition, NICSC 2026, taking place from the 22nd to the 24th of April at Arabush Travelodge in Windhoek. Corporate early bird registrations close on the 31st of March. So register now at dstech.com.na. NICSC 2026. Securing Africa's digital future.
My friend, why do you...
The last 4.2 million naira she left. For now, she had plans for it. Then came the phone. Emeka's phone. She had known his passcode for years. Zara's birthday. He'd never changed it. Why would he? He trusted her to not look. She waited for the right moment. It came on a Saturday afternoon. Emeka was in the swimming pool with Zara, laughing, splashing, looking to any outsider like the perfect father. His phone lay on the poolside table, face up for once. He'd been playing music from it. Ada walked past it on the way to get juice. She picked it up as she walked. She was back inside in 4 minutes. It was worse than she expected. The woman's name was Sade Rose in his contacts. The messages went back 3 years. Not 3 months, not 6 months, 3 years. There were voice notes, photos, plans. Sade had even been to their house, when Ada traveled to Abuja for a client job in 2022. There were photos of Sade sitting in Ada's kitchen, in Ada's robe, drinking from Ada's mugs. There was a message from 8 months ago, where Emeka wrote, "I'm going to handle everything soon. Just be patient. You're the one I want a real life with." Ada stopped scrolling at that message, read it twice. "You're the one I want a real life with." She stared at those words until they stopped looking like words at all. Then she kept scrolling. Sade have applied with a string of heart emojis and, "I've been patient for 3 years, baby. Don't make me wait too long." Ada took screenshots of every significant message. Then she put the phone back exactly where she found it. She went to the kitchen. She squeezed 3 oranges. She brought juice out to the pool. She sat in the sun chair, watched her husband and daughter play in the water, and smiled. She smiled.
There's a particular kind of intelligence that lives in women who have been underestimated. It is quiet. It is meticulous, and it does not announce itself. If you believe quiet strength is power, subscribe. Let's grow this community of wisdom together, because this channel is for women and men who understand that silence is not weakness. Ada had been underestimated her entire married life. She now moved like water, soft, flowing, going exactly where she needed to go, in exactly the way the space allowed. She hired a property lawyer, a woman named Barrister Ngozieze, who came highly recommended by Chisom. She met her in a small, discreet office in Victoria Island on a weekday when she was supposed to be at a client site visit. My husband and I own a property together in Lekki, Ada said. I want to understand what my rights are. Barrister Ngozi leaned forward. Tell me everything. The house in Lekki Phase 1 had been purchased in both their names. The certificate of occupancy read Emeka Chukwemeka Briggs and Adaeze Okonkwo Briggs. But when Barrister Ngozi obtained copies of the original purchase documents, she found something. The deposit, 45 million naira, paid 6 years ago, had come from Chief Chukwude Okonkwo, Ada's father. The remaining mortgage payment over 5 years, mostly from the joint account, which Ada's business income had been funding. Here's what we do, Barrister Ngozi said. We file a declaration of beneficial interest. We establish that you have primary financial stake in this property. We don't sell it without his consent. That's illegal. But we do establish that in any divorce settlement, you are entitled to 70 to 75% of the value, not 50%. Ada met with a private property appraiser, 120 million naira, current market value. 75% of that was 90 million naira. She filed the beneficial interest claim through her lawyer. Emeka would get the notice, eventually, probably around the same time he got the divorce papers. By the time he could contest it, she'd be gone. And when the property eventually sold, because he couldn't afford to keep it without her income, her claim would be first in line. Ada called her father that evening from the bathroom with the shower running. Daddy, she said, do you remember the transfers you made when we were buying the house? A pause, then the old man's voice, slow and careful. I remember everything, my daughter. I never throw away receipts. I also never signed anything that transferred my ownership. Nobody asked me to. She didn't have to explain anything. Fathers who have watched the world understand things their daughters don't see. Come home this weekend, Chief Okonkwo said. Come with Zara. I have some old documents in this safe I've been meaning to organize. With Chief Okonkwo's records and Barrister Ngozi's guidance, the legal path became clear. Ada had documented evidence of primary financial contribution to the property through her father. She had bank records proving her business income as the main contributor to the joint account, while Emeka's withdrawals showed deliberate asset dissipation ahead of a planned divorce. She had screenshots of the affair going back 3 years. She had the photographed divorce petition. And she had something else. Remember the note on Emeka's divorce checklist. Ask Tunde about custody arrangement. Ada knew Tunde. She knew Tunde's wife, BC. They weren't close friends, but they were in the same Lagos women's networking group that met once a month for brunch. 3 weeks after Ada found the laptop, she ran into BC at the group's monthly brunch. BC looked tired, more tired than usual. You okay, sis? Ada asked quietly while they were both at the buffet table. Busy smiled the way women do when they are lying. I'm fine. Just, you know, marriage things. Ada paused, then very carefully. If you ever need to talk about anything, I'm here. Busy looked at her for a long moment. Same, she said. Anytime. They didn't say anything else. 2 weeks later, Busy called. Ada, I've been wanting to call you for 2 weeks, BC said, her voice low and careful. I saw a file on Tunde's desk. He left it on the kitchen table. A client named Briggs. I wasn't going to say anything, but Ada, are you okay? Ada let a breath of silence pass. Then, BC, thank you for calling me. I'm okay. Actually, I'm very okay. Another pause. BC, Ada said softly, how long has Tunde been having that woman over? This time, the silence from BC's end was very long. How did you know? Because, Ada said, we're in the same story. We just haven't compared notes yet. The two women talked for 2 hours that night. At the end of the conversation, BC quietly agreed that if the situation ever required a witness, someone who had seen documents, heard conversations, noticed things, she would be available. Ada filed that away. Barrister Ngozi filed everything else. For 3 months, from the day she found the laptop to the day Emeka finally said the words out loud, Ada performed the role of devoted wife so perfectly that even she sometimes forgot she was acting. She cooked Emeka's favorite, ofe onugbu, with stockfish on Sundays. She ironed his shirts. She laughed at his jokes. She attended his company dinner and wore the green dress he loved and smiled at his colleagues and charmed his boss's wife and was so radiant that his boss pulled Emeka aside and whispered, "That woman is a treasure, Emeka. Don't ever take her for granted." Emeka had laughed. Ada, standing across the room with a glass of wine, had watched him laugh, and she had smiled. Meanwhile, quietly and without drama, she was finishing everything. She had begun applying for Canadian permanent residency under the Skilled Worker Program. Her interior design portfolio was strong enough. She had a standing remote consultancy arrangement with a Toronto-based interior firm she had worked with for over a year. She had been quietly building that relationship, not knowing at the time that she would need it as a lifeline. Sometimes, God prepares the exit before you even know you need to leave. Zara's international passport had been in Ada's possession for months. She was always the one who handled travel documents. She researched schools in Toronto, found one, toured it virtually on a Tuesday morning while Emeka was at work with Zara sitting beside her eating cereal. "What are those children doing, Mommy?" Zara asked. "Playing," Ada said. "You might play there soon, too." Zara went back to her cereal. She opened a Canadian dollar account with a diaspora banking service. She built, quietly and without rushing, a new life on the other side of the world. But there was one thing she had to do first, the hardest thing. The hardest call Ada made wasn't to her lawyer or her accountant. It was to a family mediator named Mrs. Adebayo, a woman who specialized in collaborative divorce. "I want to document that I tried," Ada told her, "before this gets ugly." She sent Emeka an email from a new address he didn't know existed. The subject line, "Proposal for Zara's well-being." In it, she laid out a custody arrangement. She would be relocating to Toronto for a major career opportunity. Zara would come with her. Emeka could have her for all school holidays, Christmas, Easter, summer. All flights paid for. Video calls 3 times a week. She even included flight cost estimates and a proposed schedule. She CC'd Mrs. Adebayo. She waited 72 hours. Emeka never replied, not even to ask about his daughter. Mrs. Adebayo documented the non-response. "This shows abandonment of parental responsibility," she said quietly. "Keep this." Ada kept everything. She was ready. She was just waiting for the moment. The moment came on a Thursday, 6:14 a.m. Ada was deep in sleep, or pretending to be, when she felt Emeka's hand on her shoulder. "Ada?" She stirred slowly, opened her eyes. He was sitting on the edge of the bed, already dressed, cologne on, tie not yet knotted. He was looking at her with an expression she had never quite seen on him before, something between guilt and rehearsed resolve. He had been practicing this, she realized. He had practiced it in the mirror. "I need to talk to you about something serious," he said. She sat up, rubbed her eyes. "Okay."
He exhaled through his nose. "Ada, I've been thinking a lot. About us. About where we are." He paused. "I don't think we're happy. I don't think I've been happy for a while. And I think we should end the marriage." Silence. Ada looked at him. He looked back at her, clearly braced for tears, for screaming, for something to throw. She said, "Okay." He blinked. "Okay. Yes," she adjusted her pillow. "I understand." "Ada, Emeka," she met his eyes, and her voice was so calm it almost frightened him. "People cannot force happiness. If this is how you feel, I accept it. I am not going to beg you." She paused. "Just give me 3 weeks to get my things in order. 3 weeks. Then we can proceed however you'd like." He stared at her. This was not the script he had rehearsed. 3 weeks, he repeated slowly. 3 weeks, she confirmed. Then she lay back down, pulled the duvet up. "Close the door when you leave."
He stood there for another 10 seconds. Then he left. Ada lay in the dark, her heart beating fast, not from fear, from the particular electricity of a woman who has finally been given permission to move. She moved fast, but not frantically. In the first week, Ada met with Barrister Ngozi and finalized the beneficial interest claim on the property. The legal documentation was airtight. Her father's 45 million naira deposit, the mortgage payments traced back to her business income, Emeka's recent suspicious withdrawals, it was all there, formatted, filed, ready. Ada also transferred the remaining joint account balance, 4.2 million naira, into her private account. The joint account was now empty. She also sold her white Mercedes GLC privately to a woman in her networking group, 28 million naira, paid in full. She told Emeka the car was at the mechanic for a routine service. He nodded without looking up from his phone. In the second week, she packed. Not everything, just everything that mattered. Documents, Zara's things, her grandmother's jewelry.
Every journey starts with a heartbeat. And for your car, that heartbeat is every part working perfectly together. At Motovec, we don't just sell parts. We keep your car alive. From brakes to batteries, filters to fluids, we power every drive, every trip, every moment. Motovec, the heartbeat behind your journey.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Her design portfolio drives, her laptop, clothes, not all of them. Just the one she actually loved. She did it in pieces over days, a bag here, a box to her sister's house there, so that Emeka never walked into a room and noticed it was lighter. She was methodical. She was surgical. She left his Tom Ford cologne on the bathroom counter. She left the Instagram frames on the wall, those perfect curated photos of the Briggs family, smiling in Zanzibar, smiling at Zara's birthday, smiling at Christmas. She left them all. Let him look at them. She also, very quietly, withdrew the funds from her private account and converted 30 million naira into a foreign currency transfer, Canadian dollars, routed to her new Toronto account. Clean, untraceable, legal. In the third week, she said goodbye to her father in Anambra. Chief Okonkwo held her for a long time without saying anything. Then he said, "Your mother would be proud." Ada's eyes burned, but she didn't cry. Almost. On the Sunday of the third week, Emeka announced he had a business trip. Abuja, 1 week. He was leaving Monday morning. "Okay," Ada said. "Safe trip." He left at 6 a.m. that same Monday. By 2 p.m. that same Monday, Ada and Zara were at the airport. Zara was wearing her favorite purple backpack and asking if Canada had ice cream. Ada said, "They have ice cream." "What flavor?" "All the flavors." Zara considered this carefully. "Okay, let's go." Emeka returned from Abuja on a Sunday evening. He was in a good mood. He had spent the week with Sade. She had an apartment in Maitama. He had told Ada he was in Abuja for work. He was, in a sense, working on his future. He took a taxi from the airport because his driver wasn't answering. Strange. As they turned into a street in Lekki Phase 1, he noticed the gate was open wider than usual. The compound was quiet in a way that felt different from usual quiet. Ada's white Mercedes was not in the compound, but it hadn't been for 2 weeks. Mechanic, he remembered. He paid the taxi, walked to the front door. His key worked. He pushed it open. The house was empty. Not ransacked. Not destroyed. Not dramatic. Just empty. The living room held only the television, screwed to the wall, which Ada had decided was not worth the bother, and the cutting rods. The custom furniture she had designed for the space, gone. The rugs, gone. The art on the walls, gone. The kitchen, pots, gone. Appliances, gone. The small air fryer she'd bought herself as a birthday gift, gone. Zara's room, empty. All the pink and gold and stickers and little shoes and drawings on the softboard, gone. Their bedroom. His clothes were in the wardrobe, untouched. His watches, his laptop, his things. But everything that had made the house a home, everything that was hers, was gone. He walked slowly to the study. On the desk, in the center, sat two pieces of paper. The first was a legal notice from Barrister Ngozi Eze and Associates, informing Emeka Chukwuemeka Briggs that his wife, Ada Eze Okonkwo, formerly Okonkwo Briggs, had formally reverted to her maiden name and relocated with their daughter, Zara Briggs, to Canada, where she was now a registered resident. It referenced the custody proposal email sent 3 weeks prior, attached with read receipt, and his failure to respond. Custody and financial matters would be pursued through proper legal channels, all communication to be directed to her legal representative. The second document was a copy of the beneficial interest claim on the Lekki property, the one he had never known was filed, with a notice that legal proceedings to determine asset division had been initiated. A valuation report was attached. So was his father-in-law's original transfer receipt. So was a six-month transaction history of the joint account, with his withdrawals highlighted in yellow. He was holding these papers when the realization came. Not slowly, all at once. The joint account. He grabbed his phone and checked. Zero. The business account, Adaize Interiors, that had been a co-account for tax purposes. He tried to check. Access denied. Not his account anymore. He tried Ada's number. The number you have dialed is not reachable at this time. Please try again. He tried again. Same. He called Chisom. Chisom answered on the first ring with the unhurried ease of a woman who had been waiting for this exact call. Emeka, where is Ada? Where is my wife? Where is Zara? Emeka, her voice was sweet, patient. She is not your wife anymore. You said so yourself. A pause that lasted just long enough to sting. Safe evening. She hung up. He sat on the floor of his empty study. He walked to the living room, stood in the middle of the empty space, and that's when he saw it. Under the couch, the one piece of furniture Ada had left because it was too heavy, there was a piece of paper. He bent down, picked it up. It was one of Zara's drawings, crayon on printer paper, four stick figures, Mommy, Daddy, Zara, and what looks like a dog. They didn't have a dog. Above it, in Zara's uneven four-year-old handwriting, My Fami. Emeka stared at that drawing for a long time. Then he called Sadi. The phone rang four times. He was already composing what he would say. Come to Lekki, bring overnight things, we will figure this out. When the call cut. He called again. This time it rang twice before it cut. Then he texted instead.
Shade sat in her Maitama apartment, staring at Emeka's name on her phone. He called six times. She thought about the last 3 years, the sneaking around, the be patient baby, the promises. She'd wet head. She'd been the understanding one because she thought she was winning. He was actually going to leave his wife. The divorce petition had been drafted. She'd seen it 2 months ago when he showed her, proof that he was serious this time. But then her friend Kemi had called this afternoon with the gossip. Girl, you know that you're Emeka. The wife cleaned him out. The house is sold. The accounts are empty. She took the child to Canada. He's finished. Shade had laughed at first. Ada? Sweet, quiet Ada? That same Ada, Kemi confirmed. She played him completely. Shade wasn't laughing anymore.
She'd spent 3 years waiting for Emeka to divorce his wife so she could step into that Lekki house, that life, the one with the Range Rover and the Instagram photos and the swimming pool. But there was no house anymore, no accounts, no life to step into. Just a man who'd been outsmarted by the woman he'd underestimated. And Shade had not waited 3 years to inherit nothing. She picked up her phone, typed, "Emeka, I can't do this. I heard about the house. I heard everything. I can't. I'm sorry." She hit send. Then she blocked his number. She'd chosen him because he looked like a winner. Turned out, he'd just married one. Emeka read the message 3 times. "Emeka, I can't do this. I heard about the house. I heard everything. I can't. I'm sorry." He stared at his phone for a long time. Then he looked around the room, his Tom Ford cologne on the bathroom shelf, his clothes in the wardrobe, his laptop on his desk, his things, just his things in an empty house that he didn't even fully own, a Range Rover in the compound that the finance company would be calling about on Thursday. And it was only then, sitting on the floor of the life he had quietly dismantled while thinking he was being clever, that Emeka Briggs understood something. Ada had known. She had known the whole time, and she simply waited. 3 weeks later, Barrister Ngozi received a call from a new client. Her name was Olabisi Adewale, formerly Olabisi Koka Adewale. She was calling to discuss the dissolution of her marriage to a Lagos lawyer named Tunde Koka. "I've been watching a situation very closely for 3 months. I've been taking notes, I've been keeping records, and I believe I am ready." Barrister Ngozi smiled and pulled out her notepad. "Some fires, once they start, do not stop at one house." And so, my people, the man who had been planning in secret came home to find that he had been outplanned. The woman he thought would fall apart had quietly built a new life while cooking his soup. He thought she was sleeping. She was thinking. He thought she was crying. She was packing. He thought she would beg. She flew. The ancestors say, never underestimate a quiet woman. The ones who do not shout are often the ones who have already decided. As for Ada, she was sitting in a coffee shop in downtown Toronto on a cold Wednesday morning. Zara was at her first day of school, the one Ada had toured virtually, while Emeka ate breakfast and read his newspaper and assumed the world was exactly as he had arranged it. Her Toronto client had called that morning with a new project, a large one, a penthouse redesign in a building overlooking the lake. She opened her notebook. She wrote the client's name at the top of a fresh page. Below it, she wrote budget, vision, timeline. Her phone buzzed, a voicemail from a Nigerian number she didn't recognize. She almost deleted it, but something made her listen. It was Emeka's mother. "Ada, I don't know what happened between you and my son, but Zara is my granddaughter. Please, I'm not asking you to come back. I'm just asking, let me talk to her sometimes. Let me know she's okay." The old woman's voice cracked. "Please." Ada closed her eyes. She had won. Completely. Strategically. Perfectly. But winning looked different than she had imagined. She saved the voicemail. She would decide later. Right now, she had a client meeting. She closed her phone, looked out the window at the Toronto skyline, glass and steel and a horizon that belonged to no one but her. Freedom, she was learning, wasn't the absence of hard decisions. It was the right to make them herself. And for the first time in 2 years, she wrote those words without feeling the weight of a life she had been holding together with silence and strategy. She was just a woman, with a notebook, in a new city, with a future that was entirely, completely, unambiguously hers. She smiled, and this time, nobody was watching. She didn't leave in anger, she left in strategy, and that is the most powerful exit of all.
And that, my people, is where we leave Ada, sitting in a coffee shop in Toronto, notebook open, future ahead of her. Some stories end with a door slamming. This one begins with a woman simply walking through one she built herself. What comes next? Well, that depends on what Ada decides to do with her new beginning, and whether Emeka can accept that some doors, once closed, don't open again. But before I go, I want to ask you something honestly, because I genuinely want to know what you think. Three questions. One, did Ada do too much or exactly enough? Two, should she let Emeka's mother talk to Zara, or is that opening a door she closed for a reason? Three, if you found that divorce file on your partner's laptop, would you have said something immediately, or would you have done what Ada did? Drop your answers below, because I guarantee you, half of you are Team Ada and half of you think she played a dangerous game. Let's talk about it. This is Echoes of Wisdom by...
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for...
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. We also stock CCTV Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura, next to Bank Bentuk. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-3191-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 13th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We courier countrywide. Call us now.
Worried.
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Likura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushenji fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
So, you are the girl trying to marry my son. You are too poor to marry into my family.
Money is not everything, Ma.
In this world, my dear, money is almost everything. Over my dead body, you will never be my daughter-in-law.
What would you do if a powerful woman walked into your workplace, looked you straight in the eye, and told you that you were too poor to marry her son? That was exactly what happened to Zara. But the woman who said those words had no idea that the quiet girl she insulted was hiding a secret powerful enough to change her entire life. Zara lived in a quiet town called Obidara. Obidara was one of those growing Nigerian towns where modern buildings stood beside old family compounds, and every evening the streets filled with the smell of roasted plantain and spicy suya. At the edge of the town, Zara lived with her grandmother in a small two-room house with faded walls and a rusty zinc roof. Life there was simple, but it was honest. Every morning before sunrise, Zara swept the compound, fetched water, and helped her grandmother prepare breakfast before leaving for work. She worked as a seamstress in Ijele Artisan Market, a lively place where traders sold fabrics, beads, spices, and handmade crafts. People in the market knew Zara well, not because she was rich, but because she was kind. If someone could not afford to repair their clothes, Zara would quietly reduce the price. If a child's uniform tore before school, she fixed it without complaining. Money was never plenty, but respect followed her everywhere. And that was how the man who would change her life first noticed her. One afternoon, a sleek, dark car stopped near her small tailoring shop. A young man stepped out and adjusted his shirt sleeves while scanning the busy market. His name was Tunde Adebayo. In Obidara, that name carried weight. His mother, Chief Mrs. Ronke Adebayo, was one of the richest women in the region. She owned hotels, large farms, and several transport companies that moved goods across different states. People respected her, but many people also feared her, because Chief Mrs. Ronke Adebayo was known for two things, power and pride. But her son Tunde was different. Unlike his mother, he was calm, humble, and thoughtful. He had just returned from studying abroad and was preparing to help manage the family businesses. While waiting for his driver that afternoon, Tunde noticed something. A little girl stood in front of Zara, holding a torn school uniform. "My teacher said I must fix it before tomorrow," the child said nervously. Zara examined the uniform carefully. Then she repaired it while the girl waited. When the girl brought out a few coins, Zara gently pushed her hand away. "Keep it," she said with a smile. "Buy yourself something after school." Tunde watched the entire thing. There were no cameras, no praise, just simple kindness. And that moment stayed in his mind. The next day, he came back to the market. Not because he needed anything, but because he wanted to see her again. At first, their conversations were brief. "Good afternoon. How was work today?" But soon those greetings became longer discussions. They talked about family, dreams, and the strange ways life could surprise people. Tunde admired Zara's strength. Zara admired Tunde's humility. Weeks turned into months, and before they realized it, their friendship had quietly become love. But there was one problem. A problem so serious that it threatened everything. Tunde's mother. Chief Mrs. Ronke Adebayo had built her wealth through discipline and sharp decisions. To her, family reputation was more valuable than money itself. When Tunde finally told her about Zara, she listened carefully. Then she asked one simple question. "What does her family do?" "She lives with her grandmother," Tunde answered. "And her work?" "She is a seamstress at Ijele Artisan Market." Chief Ronke leaned back slowly in her chair, Then she laughed. Not the joyful kind of laughter, the kind filled with disbelief. My son, she said calmly, you did not return from overseas just to marry poverty. Tunde frowned. Mama, she is a good person. But Kamli shook her head. Goodness does not build status. Her voice grew colder. That girl is too poor for you. A few days later, Chief Ronke decided to visit the market herself. When her expensive car stopped at Ijele Artisan Market, traders immediately began whispering. Wealth always attracts attention. She walked through the crowded stalls until she reached Zara's small tailoring shop. Zara stood respectfully. Good afternoon, Ma. Chief Ronke examined her quietly. Her modest shop, her simple clothes, her calm expression. Then she spoke. You are the girl trying to marry my son. The surrounding traders fell silent. Zara answered carefully. I care about him, Ma. Chief Ronke's expression hardened. You should understand something. Then she said the words that spread across the market within minutes. You are too poor to marry into my family. Some traders stopped working just to watch. But Zara did not shout. She did not argue. She only said quietly, Money is not everything, Ma. Chief Ronke smiled coldly. In this world, my dear, money is almost everything. Then she turned and walked away, leaving Zara standing in the middle of the market, humiliated. That evening, Zara returned home slowly. Her grandmother noticed immediately. My child, what happened? Zara explained everything. The insult, the rejection, the humiliation in the market. Her grandmother listened without interrupting. Then she said something unusual. Do not worry about that woman. Zara wiped her tears. But she will never accept me. The old woman smiled quietly. People speak with pride when they do not know the truth. Zara looked confused. What truth? Her grandmother only said one sentence. When the time is right, the secret will reveal itself. Because the truth was something no one in Obidara knew. Not Tunde, not the traders in Ijele market, and certainly not Chief Ronke Adebayo. The quiet seamstress everyone thought was poor was hiding a secret powerful enough to change everything. But before we continue the story, let me ask you something. If someone insulted you because they believed you were poor, would you walk away quietly like Zara did? Or would you confront them immediately? Tell me in the comments. And if you love powerful African stories like this, subscribe to African Folktale and join the family. Because the secret Zara is hiding will shock everyone. After visiting Ijele Artisan Market and humiliating Zara, Chief Ronke Adebayo returned home feeling satisfied. In her mind, the matter was settled. No poor seamstress would become part of the Adebayo family. But she underestimated one thing. Her son's stubborn heart. That evening, Tunde arrived home and noticed something unusual. His mother sat quietly in the living room, sipping tea. Where were you today? He asked casually. I went to the market, she replied. Tunde paused. Which market? Ijele Artisan Market. He already knew what that meant. And what did you go there to do? He asked slowly. Chief Ronke placed her cup down carefully. I went to speak to that girl. Tunde's face tightened. What did you say to her? His mother's voice remained calm. I told her the truth. And what truth is that? That she is too poor to marry you. Silence filled the room. Tunde stared at his mother, disappointment clear in his eyes. You humiliated her. I protected you, Chief Ronke corrected. Mama, Tunde said quietly, love is not something you measure with money. But his mother's expression remained firm. In this family, we do. The next morning, Chief Ronke made a phone call. By afternoon, a young woman arrived at the Adebayo mansion. Her name was Lola Ajayi. Lola was everything Chief Ronke believed a future daughter-in-law should be. Elegant.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of
Get hate. Social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The following show is a playback from Eagle FM podcast.
Dear listener, the following show is a playback.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is Wednesday. It is the 4th of the 12th month at 2024. It is a Wednesday evening and the time is 21:04. My name is the Matriarch Mbavero Shinyumba and so the number in studio is 083-288-401. As you know, what we do on Wednesdays is we present a conversation of your liking and of your choice and we talk about it. If you would like for us to talk about it, we just dive right into it. You come through and you tell me, Matriarch, I was wondering, leather, does it smell like Oshihunda? And I'll be like, yeah, sure. Like, I was walking past the leather place and I was like, like Oshipa, you know? It's because some of us eat leather. It's not just for bags and shoes. It's also for consumption. Good evening. Good evening, beloved. Yes, Tate.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing, Pops?
Well.
You are good.
Very much.
I can't hear you properly. I would like for you to move closer to the phone.
I'm saying very much.
Very much. Why? Why are you so amazing?
I'm just like this.
Oh, every day is just like that for you. It's not even a new thing.
A long time.
Oh, for a long time, you have just been amazing.
I'm saying long time to be online like this.
Oh, you mean long time no hear, long time no speak.
Exactly.
My dear, welcome home.
Uh-huh.
From Kombada, I guess.
No.
Nengo we wakaningashikana. Where did you go?
I was very far. I was five.
You were far? Where is this far place that cannot be mentioned?
At my place.
Mm. Oh, at your place, there's no radio, there's no cell phone.
I don't want people to know.
Who are these people?
I'm on AMO.
Hey, so you think the listeners, they are going to know too much about you?
Not that anymore.
Oh, not, oh, you. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, what would you like to share with us today?
No, what is the topic for today? I just called right now.
Mm-hmm. Because today is Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
So you present a conversation that you would like for us to talk about, and we discuss it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think, let me find one for you, and then I'll call you this.
Okay. But also, what do you think of the elections and, you know, the winner?
No, I think, when you say it was not said that it was said, right?
Okay.
Happened.
Oh, it happened. So you're one of those cruise through life kind of people.
So I'm a support member.
Uh-huh. So would you have still been okay with the results if things went down the same way they went down and there was another winner?
Sorry?
I'm saying, would you still have been okay with the outcome if it wasn't your candidate that won?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like I said.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I say that?
Uh-huh, my dear. You said you are okay with it.
Yeah. I'll be okay with it also.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, what are you hoping is going to change?
A lot.
Like what?
Let me say, for the youth.
Mm-hmm.
I think, maybe let me say for the youth, maybe the manager will bring change in terms of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say for the youth.
Okay. And you're hoping she will bring change?
And for our manager, our old manager, maybe they will get paid extra $3,000. It will be fine for them. Especially for the memes. Our memes at home, things are becoming expensive.
Yeah.
And our memes, they don't want to leave town also, so it's better for them if they are $3,000.
Mm.
No more renting, so the $3,000 is now, you buy electricity, you buy your food. Better for the memes.
Mm-hmm.
And also ask you to add the need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I know it changes some around.
Okay. You're hoping for change, and the change will surely come around. Let's wait and see.
To be honest, it's going to be.
It's going to?
Thing, to be honest, it's going to be there.
Okay.
More small. You don't need everything to just change.
Mm.
But here and there.
Okay. All right.
So are you for... Can I Something parties like how you said job.
Are you asking me which political party I belong to?
But I was trying to say, are you for ITC?
Me? I know as an individual that is a journalist and I'm part of media, we are not on anybody's side.
Oh.
It's not part of our job.
Okay.
It's not part of our job. As we are just there to report about it, to talk about it, to keep you guys informed.
But you don't have a water.
No. I'm waiting to start my political career myself and start a political party called EOO, Educate Our Own. Eh?
Okay.
Yes. So we'll take it from there. For now, I'm just looking at others, just watching them do their things.
To be honest, I don't think I'll vote for this party.
You're not voting. You have to first wait for my manifesto, Moss. You must wait for my manifesto. Maybe I'm going to be talking nice things. Maybe I'm going to be talking about, everybody can just have land. Everybody can have resources. Everybody can just have a piece of gold in their house as decoration. You know. You never know. The future is moving, my dear. You never know. So don't shut down my political party just like that first. You must give me a chance.
But you must bring it to, because if you don't, you just say those things and you don't put them on the table, then
But you guys are most okay with those things because you guys have also voted for people that have sold you dreams. And you guys who are still keeping on going.
What dreams?
There were many dreams that were sold along the way, Utare.
Oh, I don't know them myself.
Ah.
To be honest.
Okay, no problem. But all in all, we are out here. We are watching Namibia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nene must come around.
Yeah, she must come for an interview. All right, my friend. Thank you so much for calling.
All right.
Ciao, ciao.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? My name is The Matriarch, and I am your host for this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, today is Can We Fix It Wednesdays. It's open conversations where you can bring a conversation to the table, and we can talk about it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Namibia has been going through a series of eventful events, and maybe you want to talk about it. Maybe you want to give me your 2 cents. Maybe you want to also just have, like, a voice when it comes to what has happened. That can also be onto the table. And the number in studio is 083-288-401. You guys can officially call in and you guys can come and we talk about it. But initially also, within my preparations today, I've been thinking about becoming an adult. Now, becoming an adult is something that happens like it's overnight. It's like it just springs up and bam, we are adults now. Here there are things that are expected of us and we must conduct ourselves in a specific way and now I'm thinking, but isn't there a little guideline that hits you up and tells you that, okay, so you're going to become an adult, so this is what you're going to be doing. You know, when we entered puberty, our parents had the conversation, especially, I don't know now about the gentlemen, but with the girls, we had the conversation was now, oh no, you have to likwata nawa, now you are a big girl, and you must take care of yourself, take care of your body, don't let boys touch you because you get pregnant. You know, nobody actually said coitus. Nobody actually said the words coitus. They all said don't touch. Don't let boys touch you. Now some of us, we were running around the world. We were running around all over the place, just touching. Even if a boy touches you on your shoulder, you're like, ooh, I'm most probably pregnant today because they said don't touch. But nobody actually said pata pata. But I'm thinking about it. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you, Mitchell?
I'm fine, Tate. How are you?
I'm very fine.
You're very fine. What makes you very fine on this very, very nice Wednesday evening? Yeah, Tate?
The situation and the weather.
Oh, the situation and the weather.
Yeah.
Hey, what about the situation? Tell me more, please. I'm here for you.
I wanted to speak on the election, is that?
Okay.
Yeah, now, election result, it's come out. It was free and fair, but you just have to understand it like that, because those who win, those who lose, they lose.
So was it really free and fair? You believe that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why? Why do you believe that?
No complaint. We know what we did when we were voting was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was the one who was on the ballot box when we were voting. We know what we did there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's any complaint, just free and fair.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't want to believe or to understand it,
they must just understand.
Because it's what we did, you know. Yeah, it's something that we did. Everyone, I think, participated in to vote. Just like you were in examination, where you were having your paper on the table, you study the books. Now, when you come in the examination, you give a question paper, answer. Now, you just expect the results, whether you pass or you fail. You just have to understand. Yeah. So let's just give the
But many people are complaining that it wasn't free and fair. Why do you think they are complaining?
If I think it's always pain when you fail or you defeat it. Yeah, but you just have to understand what. Then you try again or what. But in this matter, is let's just wait this maybe 5 years to finish. Maybe we must teach ourselves that we cannot, we must correct those mistakes if we think that it was not free and fair. Yeah.
Okay. So are you happy with the winner?
For me, I think, like, I don't want to mention any political party, but I want to say that the ruling party, for example. Yeah, since independence, it's having that history. You understand? It's having that history, it never lose anything, you know. It's always having that slogan of doing it. And now the opposition party, I just want to encourage them that like now supporters,
mm-hmm.
we must educate ourselves
mm-hmm.
to be better or to know
mm-hmm.
who are the good leaders or the people who are really having the future of this country mm-hmm. to lead the country forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but in this 5 years or so, I cannot really understand why it's 5 years, because it has been always 10 years now.
No, it has always been 5 years. It has always been 5 years. It's only that there was exceptions made and people re-ran for elections and then they won again and then they went back to office and, but it, naturally it's just 5 years. But we have never had anybody that has been on for only 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We go back to the polls after every 5 years.
Oh, yeah. After maybe these 5 years, then...
We go back and then we vote for the same person to stay on. Oh. That's why we have had 10 years, 15, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's all. I just wanted to participate for today.
All right, thank you so much for your contribution.
Okay.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling at the north.
Which one is the north? Oh, guys, when you guys say the north, ne, it's like you don't live in a place with a name.
This is like from Ndangwa.
You are in Ndangwa? Ondangwa Shanime, Shinime.
You want me to mention Shimbobe or?
Oh, we go Shimbobe, ah! Kuri Kondangwa.
I'm at Tonakureka.
Oh, you are at Tonakureka. Don't worry, you guys will see me soon.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You guys can come and you guys can give me your 2 cents as well. Ladies and gentlemen, today is a very open day. I'm just waiting on you guys and you guys can come and give me your 2 cents about what you feel, what you are thinking, what you have been thinking. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys are not going to be calling, I'm going to dive into my conversation. Now, my conversation is on adulting. You guys can always come and interrupt. This is the one day that I can allow you guys to interrupt, you know, like, no, matriarch, put this, your conversation aside. Let's talk about this one. I will accept it because today is Wednesday and it is what we do on Wednesdays. So I've been thinking about becoming an adult. And the fact that nobody really gives you a heads up on what to expect and when to expect whatever you are supposed to be expecting. So sometimes you mature at 22, sometimes you mature at 20, sometimes you go and mature at 27, sometimes you go and mature in the 30s, but we all have our different, different times to get out of the cocoon and out of the bubble of being too childish or childlike or thinking that we are still children or we are not adults yet. But I was thinking, okay, so if I had to guide somebody into adulthood, what would I most probably say? How would I go about it? And I'm looking at the criterias of becoming an adult. What makes you an adult? So you guys can come through and tell me what makes you an adult right now, because I know for a fact that the one thing that I know about adulting is exhaustion. I personally feel that being being an adult is just being tired. I used to wonder why my mom would come from work and before she even puts her bag down, she has complained at least 10 times about things that are not done properly in her house. She's asking about the broom that was left outside. She's asking about the bucket. Why is it here with water? She's asking why the house is dirty. She's asking why are you guys, all the lights are on in the house. It's complain, complain, complain. And we even gave her a name, you know, we used to call her Saddam Hussein, we used to call her Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden because we felt like she was terrorizing us and she was just, too much. Now you cannot even sit in the sitting room because the first thing she'll notice is everything that is wrong with the sitting room and everything that is most probably wrong with you. She'll ask you, hey, why are you wearing a small t-shirt? Or why are you doing your hair here while people are eating? Or. And the list goes on. If I had to really honestly pick out the things that were annoying about my own parent growing up, their list would be endless. But now I find myself in the same shoes. I find myself in the shoes of opening the gate and the first thing that I see is the rubbish that has been yarakwa. Guys, like I don't understand it. It has been raked and it has been put aside. It's not been put in plastics. It's not been put in one little gathering. The dog is playing with the things and it's just everywhere. And that is the first thing that I see. And then I get to the stairs and the first thing that I see at the stairs is the fact that they have stains. Now I'm thinking, why are we not sweeping these things away, you know, the entrance of the house. And I've realized that the older I'm getting, the more I'm becoming like Mother Dearest, the more I am also just complaining on a regular basis. And one thing is that I am also constantly exhausted. Now my mom used to come home and then she would say, I'm tired. And this I'm tired was not understood because we've been to her work, ne? At her work, she sits most all day. She sits all day. She goes out for lunch and that's basically it. She sits all day. So what would possibly make you tired from sitting all day? We used to think until we became adults or until I became an adult and I noticed that I'm just tired all the time. Every single time I'm just tired. I don't remember the last time I was not tired. I don't remember if it's not emotional tired, it is spiritual tired. If it's not spiritual tired, it's physical tired. If it has to be some form of tired, and we can even make up other forms of tired, like joint tired, hey, eyelid tired, heart tired, bloodstream tired, liver tired. We can make up all kinds of tired, but they all end up with tired. And I've asked this question, especially amongst my peers. You know, I'm 33 and I've asked my peers like, so, hi. You know, every time you meet somebody that you went to school with and you ask them, how are you doing? Everybody is like, I'm tired. Now it leaves me to wonder if being an adult is just about being tired. If that is all we have to do to be an adult is just to be tired all the time. And when does the tired end? When do we get to a place where it's not just under a rock, under a rock, under a rocker? Is it ever going to get better? Does it get better in our senior years? Do pensioners feel tired like us? Or is it because we are now in the mainstream life where we are hustling and we are working and we are running around for the bread and butter of the children that we brought into the world that we don't want to suffer, and now we are exhausting ourselves? Is this the memo? Is this where we are at as people? Is this it? Oponge, like, is forever like this? Like, it's next to
life is full of firsts. Your first crush and your first date. Your first interview and your first job. Your first car and your first road trip. But there's nothing quite like that first sip of Heineken. Our 5-star credentials ensure that every sip is uniquely balanced for that refreshing first.
Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM.
Ipuranengelo wapungwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamoili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile ko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400.
Get top scores. Yes, marathon savings at USave. Pay just $299 Namibian dollars for 5 kilogram nice parboiled rice, 5 kilogram champion super maize meal, 5 kilogram marathon white or brown sugar, and 5 kilograms of Bokomo fed cooked flour. That's right, no mistake, just $299 Namibian dollars for 4 5 kilogram bags of essential products. Where you ask? At USave. Yes, we all save at USave.
Are you ready to shape your future and make a difference through education? At Sunshine Private College, we are committed to providing exceptional tertiary education that's flexible, accessible, and tailored to your goals. We say education first. Our programs are accredited by the Namibia Qualifications Authority, NQA, and registered with the Namibia Council for Higher Education, NCHE. Enrollment for August 2025 is now open. Choose from Postgraduate Diploma in Education, Secondary, 1 year, Level 8, Bachelor of Education Honours in Junior Primary, 4 years, Level 8, Bachelor of Education Honours in Senior Primary, 4 years, Level 8, Diploma in Early Childhood Development and Junior Primary Education, 3 years, Level 6. Study full-time or via distance learning block release. You choose what works for you. Call us today at 061-221805 or 081-288-5258 for more details. Sunshine Private College, not just about teaching, it's about inspiring your future.
Office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Good evening. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hey, there was a guy. His name is Maze and he sang that song. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. What's that? So ladies and gentlemen, today I'm talking about adulting and I'm talking about the criterias in which we can now see the criterias in which govern being an adult or what it is or the signs that you are an adult or what to look out for if we are maturing. And I know that this may not be realistic. This may not be, this may not be something that you are thinking of and putting together, but if we look at them, maybe we can find a few pointers to see if we are indeed thriving for the true definition of being an adult. Because the one thing that I've noticed as an individual is that we are, or my peers and I don't know about your peers and yourself, but my peers and I are constantly tired. It seems as if we are just running and running and running and running this race. It's constantly something to do. It's, you go to work You go to work, and before you go to work, you are with the people that you brought into the world, and they alone also exhaust you, especially if they are small. Ah, yo. You know, I forgot how it feels like to have a small child, and I forgot how much energy they have, and I forgot how they don't want to sit down, and they don't want to rest, and they don't want to sleep, and they don't want to do anything that involves just taking a beat, taking a breather. The only time they sleep is when they are exhausted. So they mess up your pattern, and I can't wait for my daughter to be a little bit older so that I can also just maybe rest. And I think I'll never do it again, guys. No. And also, I think the spacing between the children was also too much, because my son is 9 and his youngest sister is 1, and we are always just running. It's just okukerering, ma, don't do that, don't kill yourself, don't put your finger in the plug, and there are new legs now, so it's just running, and the crying also, okurunduka nembera, it's, and the tantrums, like the throwing themselves, I didn't even know. I thought that was for other people's kids. I thought that thing of rolling over and breaking your back is for other people's kids, until I had this small child here, and I'm looking at her like, oh, like, yo, I see it already, yo, the amount of discipline that's going to come when you are of age to understand the discipline that's going to come if this is how you are growing. And I'm trying to curb it, you know, psychologically. I'm trying to curb it, and I'm trying to explain things to a 1-year-old, like, you know, don't do that, Michaela, because it is inappropriate. Oh, my dear, it's like talking to a brick. And it's that running around, and then there's work, and then after work it's coming back, and then it's coming back to those people, coming back to those people that have terrorized your home the whole day, especially in holiday. I don't know how you guys are coping with them. Like, did you guys send them off to the village, to the farms? Where did you guys send your kids? Why are you guys not going crazy? Or is it just, are you guys going crazy in secret? Yeah, are you guys hiding it, which are you guys are going crazy there with your kids? Because I know that this craziness happened in COVID, where we were all just tired of our children. Like, guys, open the country so that we can send the kids off to their other relatives, because I can't do this anymore. And it's holidays, it's school holidays, and it is crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And things are just going left, right, and center. And we don't know now if it's really the kids or it's other big people that are also just eating the fridge. The fridge is just constantly on a negative, and I don't know. So I'm personally exhausted, and I am blinking when I'm looking at my kids. I'm blinking because I don't know if I secretly don't like them, or I'm not fond of this. I'm thinking of just booking myself into a guest house and going to sleep the whole afternoon. Like, to be honest, I'm thinking of booking myself into a hotel and just sleep and tell the people I went with work or something. Ah, I'll tell them Eagle FM sent me. No, I am personally just, I'm exhausted already. I'm done. And they have been off for a very long time. I think it's been half a month. And yo, we still have the whole of December and some pieces of January together. And yo, when they say raise your children into people that you like, ne? They were not joking. They were really not joking. It's not that I don't like them, ne? They just have negative traits, like being dirty, being loud, always running. Like, those are just negative traits for me. And it contributes to my fatigue. It contributes to my tiredness. And I was now thinking that, okay, so what is it? You know, when you're getting married, they give you the memo. They tell you that, no, when you get married, this is how you must behave. This is what to expect. This is how to go about it. This is how to resolve conflicts. They basically give you a guide to being married. And they send you off in style. And when you corpora, when you become an adolescent, you know, they also somehow guide you in one way or another. They tell you that, okay, so you are officially of the age of being an adult or a young person. And now now you have menstruation. Now your boobs are coming in. There will be hair growing in certain parts and areas. And this is what to expect. And this is what to do. You know, you have to clean yourself up. You have to make sure that you wear things properly. You have to make sure that you are not reckless and you are not running too much, and you know, they give you a pep talk so that even when you go into the world, there's this sense of, okay, I have an idea of what to do and what not to do. But nobody gives you that pep talk on becoming an adult. Nobody gives you the pep talk on becoming somebody's parent. They all tell you, they're all excited for the baby, but nobody ever tells you, okay, so they are going to be sleepless nights. They are going to be bad days. They are going to be great days. They are going to be phenomenal days. And then there are also going to be days that you just want to bury yourself under a pillow and not wake up. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that in the real world. So nobody really gives you that kind of pep talk. Nobody gives you that kind of guideline. And for you struggling ones tonight, for you struggling ones that are out there listening to me today, and you are maybe sitting outside running away from your family, you're running away from your relatives, you're running away from your loved ones, and you're sitting on the outskirts of the house and having one earphone in and the other one is out so that you listen, so that they don't kill themselves there in the house, because apparently it's school holidays. So that they can sleep whatever time they want, and it's just driving you crazy. I hear you. I'm here for you, Ne. I am here for you. I'm here for you. Hey, I'm here for you in all honesty, because And now, in this conversation of adulting, with the realization put aside that we have not been given a pep talk, I wanted to figure out, okay, so if I had to tell somebody what being an adult is, what would I tell them? Would I tell them from my experiences? Would I tell them that, oh yeah, being an adult is being tired and paying bills and being people's parents? Good evening.
My sister, you are talking about me.
Oh.
I want to run away,
baby. And you cannot run away because they are yours. You're like,
mine are now a whole bunch of teenagers.
It's mood swings. It's funny smells.
And you can't tell them anything. They want to watch TV up until maybe 1 o'clock, and then they sleep until 12 tomorrow.
Look at you whispering in your own house.
I'm even under the bed.
They don't want to do anything. They complain about everything. Yeah, but me, I swept yesterday. You're like, ah, guys.
Oh, but it's not my turn. And then you tell the people, yeah, that's why you are fat now. Yeah, now you are body shaming.
Yeah. This is child abuse. Ah,
Lord.
They are terrorists.
I was so excited about giving birth and all that. But now you're teenage.
I feel like nobody really wants anybody about these things. Like they are just so happy to have grandkids and extra members of the country.
And this one, they know their rights, my dear.
These millennials.
When you were growing up, you already know that it's time for holiday. I must go to Mekolo.
Eh.
This one, you can't tell the minister. And you guys?
Are you coming with? No, we are running away from you. I thought, like, I keep saying that it's nice when you talk about the things because somebody is just going through them.
And sometimes it's a Sunday now.
Mm-hmm.
You are not working.
Mm-hmm.
There are these boys that will come from other houses. They come and play and boop, boop, boop. You know, and when they are running, it's like they are running under a field.
It's like dinosaurs. It's like cows running.
Oh, my gosh.
And they scream a lot.
Yeah.
And they're always screaming. To be honest, they're always screaming.
They're always screaming and running. I don't know what do they do that. Why?
I don't
screaming
know.
And running and I don't know. They are just shutting the door so loud.
So loud, they're breaking the house.
Anything they touch is just
breaking.
The sound. It's so irritating. It's so annoying. Honestly, I hear you. My sister, I need a therapy.
I'm telling you, they're traumatizing us.
Yes.
Now, 90% of the time, we are always tired. And then now our houses, you know, I was thinking about wanting to rest, right? And now I was at the office and I'm sitting there at my desk and I'm thinking about, oh, I want to rest. And the first thought in my mind, was I don't want to go home.
Do you understand? Imagine you scared going to your own house.
You're already tired just by thinking about going to your own house.
Sometimes you're even sleeping and you're just dreaming about them.
And then you're even just shouting like, Zappa, leave. Like,
And then people are calling, what? Oh, man. I'm a human.
I'm also... I'm also a person, man.
I'm not a robot
and I'm also just kind of tired of you guys.
And the house is messy.
And I even said like,
for you to clean it.
And I even said that I don't know how people that have kids and have white things in their house, like I don't know how they live.
My sister, I don't know.
Because us, when we go into the furniture shop, we're like looking for black couches, dark brown. No cotton. No. It must be leather. Dark.
Because it must be tied up.
I'm telling you. Because
my dear. Mm-mm, I don't know.
And they ask you things.
They are running in and out of the house.
Leaving the door open.
Gosh.
Oh.
Now all the doors handlers
are done. They are done. Never mind when they wash dishes, they throw things through the window.
Imagine now, the teenagers, they eat, and then you tell them, you don't eat in the lounge or the sitting room, please go eat elsewhere. Maybe
you even say, please, my dear.
My dear, they will, if they hear you, maybe walking, coming by. That plate is going to be hidden under the couch. Under the couch, and then what?
And then it stays there. And then when the sitting room starts smelling, that's when you want to move things.
Who did it? No one.
No one did it.
I'm telling you. At least I think toddlers are fun to have. But
the thing is that you only realize that which age group is better when you get there.
Yeah, I think because I feel like I missed them when they were young. They were toddlers.
You missed them because they were nicer to you. Mommy!
Yes, mommy. Nice.
Yes, they were nicer to you.
Yourself.
They even just shortened mommy to mom.
My dear, the person will only want you when maybe, can you please give me money to go?
Gold diggers.
Go for
the movies and go karting.
Oh, my friends and what? If I see my kids cleaning me in the morning, they want to go somewhere.
You see those things. You see, like,
And I'm like, now what now?
Hey, gold diggers.
Sometimes I just leave them. I leave them to clean, and then I'm not going to give them the money.
Yeah, because it's our house together.
They messed the house. I didn't mess the house.
Me, I'm only in one corner. Yeah? They are congesting the Wi-Fi, giving the Wi-Fi password to their friends. Now their friends are standing outside the house.
And maybe when you are not around, they even come in.
They are there. That's why even when you come home, there's that kind of smell, that strong smell. Like a gang of boys.
Like somebody was busy.
Oh, she would.
Such a nice topic, man. Continue, my dear. We are listening.
Nay, you are listening from under the bed. What about the plate in the fridge? Because they don't want to wash their plate with three macaronis.
And there are so many. I'm like, now, okay, I don't cook. If that food is not eaten, I'll make sure that.
Yes, because there's leftovers that you were planning on eating. That's why you put it in the fridge.
There are people around, roaming around looking for food while you are here wasting food. For what? Eat that one first, then you can maybe eat the fresh one. I don't know.
They want animals, but they don't want to even give the dog water. Then they are drinking water left, right, and center, but they want the animal, but they don't want to take care of the animal. Now you are forced to take care of the animal also.
Animals, plants, everything is on you. The whole house is on you.
I know, guys.
I think somehow also we need to train them when they were young. You know, one thing I've noticed is I think our age, or how do I say, we are spoiling our children too much. We are having, I understand we have nannies in the houses and all that. We are giving everything to nannies to do. And then, like now, where I am now, like, I don't mind a nanny in my house because these people are big.
Yeah.
What for?
Maybe what
if
for?
She's coming, she should just come to help me, not them.
But she must come and do my clothes. And iron my things.
Yes. Only my own and my other person.
Yes. Our things. You guys must wash your own things.
But she must not come every day. She must come maybe twice a month.
Yeah.
You understand?
To just do one spring cleaning and one laundry.
Oh, Lord. These ones, now they are waiting for you to clean maybe the house.
What are we
miracle.
Eating, mommy?
You are most a miracle lady.
Superwoman.
Superwoman. I always ask myself, God, may I ask you so many times to give me children, but not this one.
This one's, ne? And I think that many of us are drowning within this conversation because, right, as parents, people tend to judge us when we say we are not fans of the kids. We love them. We just don't like them very much.
But I don't know. But now
they're not nice people.
If you send them away now, they are going to now give other people problems.
Headaches.
So you must just stay with your problems.
But I think we do a good job. It's only that we know them so well. We know them too well to see the things that they are actually doing correct. Like they are passing so well, these kids.
Imagine.
And no. That's why we can buy them cell phone because.
I'm not impressed at all. What do they do? What do they do for them not to pass?
That's now the other thing, Kucha. So the only thing you should do is just pass because you don't do anything. You don't wash your clothes.
You don't do anything. Maybe washing your clothes, yes, eat and do what? You don't clean the house. You don't
and enjoy the luxuries of your parents' money.
Man. You have internet. You have everything here.
They don't even want to watch normal TV.
My dear,
everything is just YouTube or Netflix.
YouTube,
then why are we paying for the DSTV? Because when it's not there, it's been complained.
There are people that want to watch NBC News.
News, yes. So we pay full bouquet for one channel at one time.
I only pay the, to view the DSTV, whatever the NBC.
Uh-huh.
I think the package is even, it's even cheaper. It's more affordable than the full bouquet.
Mm-hmm. Because so there at our kids, they are complaining when the DSTV is not paid, but even you never find them watching regular TV.
It is not a smart TV.
Eh. So smart TV was now it's just the internet. Then what's the point in buying the other one? And they're like, no, but mommy, sometimes we watch the other one. I'm like, sometimes when? Just
they
wasting my money.
They are lying.
Oh.
You shouldn't pay full bouquet. Mm-mm, that one is too expensive. Just buy as long as there is a channel that you want.
But yeah. I never get to watch also. I'm always tired.
Every time. You are not even home most of the time.
You spend 90% of your life at work.
Just to sleep.
And you can't even sleep because people are running through the corridor and slamming doors.
And you are knocking, mommy. Oh, God.
My son, I even ask him, when I'm not here, I'm no konkoraje. No man. Mommy, are you sleeping? I'm like, yeah.
They are looking for attention.
No, man.
We won't see it because we are tired.
Oh, but look for attention on an appropriate day, man, Kandeng.
They are kids. They don't think like that.
Oh, no, man. Mommy, like even when I fall asleep, I hear mommy. Oh, I'm so tired of that word. I even told them to start calling me Meme.
I'm hearing Matriarch is talking about me, my dear, on the radio. I'm like, yo, let me call in.
And no, because I'm like, whoa, guys. But what is adulting to you, though?
What is that?
Adulting. Being an adult.
Adulting. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's to put up with all this.
It seems like it's just to suffer. To suffer with your bundles.
You are putting up with the bundles, your own bundles, the other people's bundles, and your mother's bundles.
Of course.
The world's bundles.
Oh, it has to have a suitcase.
Yo. Only if I knew. I wouldn't be like at this age.
You know, the thing is that when we are younger, we are in such a rush to get there.
We want to get there.
I can't wait to have my own house.
I want to have my babies.
And my babies. Husband. Oh, my husband. Oh, my goodness. And then you get there. Oh, husband. Husband.
It's draining my sister.
I wake up sometimes and I'm like, today I just don't feel like talking to you. Can we talk maybe? Can we talk maybe from 2:00? And then he's like, oh, me, I had so many things to tell you. I'm like, no. Can we start at 11? Like, okay. And then he plays music. He plays music and then me, I require silence to get into my element. And he's like,
apparently when you are married, you are supposed to become one.
We cannot. Here there's no merging here. No. Here there's no merging. Every day is a meeting. I just don't like the way, you know, because we believe in communication. Of communicating. I don't know, I just feel like we don't bless me. Like now, now I'm the commoner, bro. I'm like, It's a trip, man.
No, sometimes you're not. When they are talking, it's like you already know the answer.
And they talk for so long. And then you're like, hey.
Feel bad or don't.
We are here for too long. I know everything you're going to say. Hey, get to the point. Okay, get there. Yeah, but it feels like you're rushing me. I'm like, sorry. But you said this last week. No, but today's going to be different. I'm like,
It's going to be different. No. Can you just finish? I want to lay down.
I want to lay down because I'm always tired.
Yeah.
Oh.
And have you seen it? Like sometimes you are just, your mind is just so exhausted. Like,
when somebody's talking.
Oh my dear. And then you just want to cry. and maybe you hear a memory of someone the neighborhood.
I'm going. You go and sit there and cry your problems. Now you don't know. Eh? Kucha, oh, it was a really nice man from down the street. Like, no, Alila, ne. You really like the man? Yeah. Hey. Thank you so much, my love. I love you so much.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? Today we're talking about adulting, guys. Today we're talking about adulting. We're talking about being people's parents. Today we're talking about the criterias, better, how we are supposed to do it, because, Mina, I did not get the memo. And like I said, for the one that is there, and they are on holiday now, holidaying, and if they are not driving you crazy, then they are not yours. Mm-mm-mm. If they are not driving you crazy to some degree, if you are not admitting it, ne, then they are not yours. Maybe they are just there for holiday and you are enjoying the loudness and the noise, but regular basis.
Great news to all! June 7 Adventure Tours is inviting all local people to come and experience an amazing quad biking adventure in the dunes. On the activities, quad biking and sandboarding, June 7 is giving back to the local community. Everyone is welcome. Location by June 7. Parents, please bring the children to have fun. For more information, please call 081-624-9665.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Do you have a question you want answered on air? Have a quick comment you want to share with the presenter? Eagle FM's SMS line is now open. Send your questions and thoughts to 1040. That's 1040 for only $1.50.
Lipurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore za timwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
Ipurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onore za timwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are talking about being an adult. What is it? And part of being an adult, the section that we have covered is the fact that we've got kids now as adults, right? Or we are taking care of others as adults, and we are accommodating because we are African. And at the end of the day, even if we are living the life of I live alone and all of that, somewhere, somehow you are taking care of somebody. Like if you are not taking care of nobody, you must come forward now and tell us how you did it. How did you escape the black tax? How did you escape family? How did you escape it? You can come and tell us, because us, we are in it. And a part of the conversation is that when I look at the characteristics of being an adult, I see only tired. I see tired. I see paying bills. I see body changes, and these body changes are not the prettiest. I also see the health declining. And I was having a conversation with my aunt, and she is one out of a billion people that got, Steak Johnson's disease, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing to play with. It's basically your whole skin burning. Imagine you're laying in bed and then your whole skin just starts burning and then it burns off. And she's one of like a million, one in 1 million a year of the cases reported around the world. It's like one or two. It's hectic, that one. And she was telling me that basically to become an adult, because I was having the conversation and I was like, Merau, I'm looking at this adulting thing, right? And I don't get it. I feel like 90% of the things that I'm doing is not matching up to my expectations. And I know that it's not appropriate to have expectations, but we do have expectations as adults. And as people, we do have expectations, you know. We expect to be financially fit. We expect to be happy. We expect to be good parents. We expect to be good employees. We expect to be good employers. We expect to be good people, and we expect to be doing well in our lives. But what is this? We expect our bodies to at least, be conforming and being better. I don't know. And she said, basically, if we are talking about the body, we are talking about the older you get, the things are falling apart. Whether you have lived a healthy life or a non-healthy life, or whether you have just started your fitness journey, at some point it does fall apart. That's when the wrinkles come in. That's when the gray hair comes in. That's when your kids are telling you every day that you are old. And I don't know why they do that. They are very bad. Like, oh, mommy, you're getting old. Yeah, you are getting old. My son the other day. Now, my son is 9. And I don't know what they talk about with their friends. So the conversation of inheritance came up. And we were picking him up. Actually, we took him to his prize giving. He did excellent in mathematics. He got an A in mathematics. He got an A in environmental study. He got an A in English. And we went to collect now our certificates at the prize giving. And we are proud parents there sitting in the hall, you know, fanning ourselves with the paper. And there he goes, Primus. And he's called, hey, Primus, huh?
The official name is Primus. And he is called and he goes on stage and he gets his certificate and we are happy, you know, and we are on our way home. And I don't know how the conversation of inheritance came along, but it was basically us praising him and telling him like, yo, so when you grow older, you are going to take care of us, your parents, you know, you are going to love us and you're going to buy us things. What are you going to buy us? Because we are on that when you grow older. This boy hits us with, by the time I'm older, you guys are going to be old or even dead. I'm like, wow. You just went straight to death also. Like, whoa. And it's not a nice thing to hear, but it's good to know that they have a concept of death. They have a concept of, their parents one day not being here because they had died. And it's nice to think that they think of us as first we must get old and then we go and die, not just dying young or dying, like just going to work and not coming back or something like that. But this guy literally tells us that, yeah, by the time I'm older, you guys are going to be very old. So you guys won't need the nice cars and stuff. I'll just get you guys a nanny to take care of you guys because you guys are going to be old. You guys can't do things by yourself. And we looked at each other, my dear. We're like, oh, okay, fine. At least we'll have a nanny. You know, we're looking for you, the silver lining in the story, which, at least we'll have a nanny or a nurse. Yeah. And then he goes on to talk about, we are going to get old people diseases as well. And we're like, oh, okay. Yo, these are like some blows that are being hit by the 9-year old, man. And we are sitting there looking at each other like, hectic. And then he also starts pointing out our gray hair, like, yeah, mommy has one gray hair here in front. And I'm like, yeah, nah, okay, cool. And that's a best friend is having 20. Like, yeah, his whole head is almost. And he says that. He asks, what are you going to leave me when you die? I'm like, should we be leaving you anything when we die? And he's like, yeah, you guys are not going to go and be buried with your things. So you are going to leave your things behind. So which one is going to be for me? And I'm like, well, we are not done working for the things that we want so that we can leave them to you guys. So what did you have in mind? And he tells a best friend that, I want that other trouser. And best friend's like, yeah, but why don't you just go and work and then you buy your own things? Like, no, I want that one. By the time I get to start working, then it's not going to be in the shops anymore and it's a really nice trouser. I'm like, yo, hectic. And then you guys must leave me the house and the car because I'm the oldest. And I'm like, yo, hectic. And this leaves me now to us talking about our bodies falling apart as adults, you know, and how it must be feeling. Because when I look at, I was going through my albums. Now, if you guys don't have albums, then I don't know. But I was going through my albums and I was looking at the body that I had as a young girl. A young scrumptious girl, I must say. I even have this whole picture with me, stomach outside. And I was like, when the soils were younger, you know, when the soils were rich, you know, it was amazing that time. And I'm looking at this body that I had and I'm thinking about what I thought of the body that I had at the time. And I was not appreciative of it. I was not looking at it as if it was a masterpiece, and I was not looking at it as if it was something that was very nice to have, because I was always looking at the imperfections. And now that I do not have that body anymore, guys, we do not have the body. We do not have the flat stomachs. We don't have that. Okay. Now I'm looking at it and I realize that as we are growing, we are also changing. And in this change, even if the body looks good, there is a sense of tiredness that is also lurking in the bones and in the flesh and in the kilometers that we have run throughout life. And I understand. I understand the fact that the bodies are falling apart. Even if we don't want to accept it, even if we don't want to see it, even if we are getting fillers in our teeth, even if we are getting the teeth removed and put a tooth there. My dear.
Good evening. Yes, you're at Eagle.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing, Tate? I can't hear you properly.
Even now?
Yeah, now I can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, matriarch.
Yes, it's matriarch, my dear. The old auntie.
The old auntie.
My dear. It's the old auntie, my dear. Like, what else can we say? It's auntie matriarch, eh, cuckoo? It's me.
Old auntie, but she's still fresh, yes?
It's still fresh. It's still fresh for now. But as we are aging, my dear, this adulting is not leaving us behind. It's leaving no stone unturned.
That's the thing. I was even laughing when I heard your conversation. You were saying your son, you were saying, no, you're old enough already.
Hey, you are old, my dear. Mother, you are, by the time I'm big, you're gonna be dead. I'm like, it's a this child. I know. And it's always right. Him. Like, you guys are so old now. He's always pointing out that way.
Yeah.
Hey, so how, what is, when you think about being an adult, what do you think of? What is it? What must we be doing as adults? Anwane.
Anwa. I'm even going deep in it. Adult, it seems like it's like you. We are just saying goodbye to the earth.
Nah? We are just going closer to our death.
Because right now, it seems like we don't know the day, but we are just pushing like a wind. You see when the wind is pushing the newspaper?
Yes.
I cannot deny the wind from north, it will push that newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
So same like us.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, as we are just waiting, when are we going to see our
6 feet?
Our 6 feet, ne?
Mm-hmm. So we are just waiting. We are just waiting for our day.
By the way, we can pray our best to help those ones. The other one that, okay, let's try to do these things like this. Don't go beyond the time. Immediately, it's already 9 or 10 o'clock. Just let it come back. Because as we were there already, we know.
Okay. So how many children do you have?
Unfortunately, I'm still young. Eh?
How old is still young? It's none of that conversation I want to have. How old are you to still be young?
3-4.
You're 34 and you are thinking you are young. You have 6 years to 40, my friend, and you are young.
It's been they are saying I'm still looking fresh.
To like look the... fresh and your ID number, my dear, is two different things.
They are saying, no, Papa, you look like a sweet thing. Okay, good again. You say, repeat again the question.
No, I'm saying, for you that is 34 years old.
Yeah.
What do you think being an adult is all about?
Oh, being an adult, it seems like...
apart from death now. What else do we do as adults?
Apart from death?
Mm-hmm.
From those other parts. So we are just... We are... How can I say... You see a chicken, we're having chicks.
Mm.
So it's like I'm a protector to those other people who are not breadwinners. So now I have to take off those people who are younger than me, sisters, brothers, and so on.
So basically, an adult is taking care of those that depend on you.
That's it. So now I'm just trying, but I don't know. But I'm trying, okay, to copy the way how the chicken do that. When you see that that how do you call that other baby?
Equally.
That's equally.
Yeah.
When that baby is coming, that's all these chicks will come and to cover them just to protect them from that ka enemy. So same like I have to protect my family. So but even the complaint that okay, what you give us is not correct. So I have to just to wait at when I'm going. And to give them strong advice that don't do this, just do this.
And if they don't listen to your advice?
If they don't listen, I have to try my best. But this one is obvious, they're not listening. Because even as you know, we were there already.
Yeah, we were not listening also.
We sneak out through the window. But now, until they beat you with a bottle, then you understand that. Oh, they were saying like this. But now we do understand.
You understand more when you are an adult, ne?
Now I do understand.
What the parents were meaning when they say don't do this.
We have to try our best just to take off these youngsters. It's hard for them to tell them to pull up the socks and they understand.
But I think it's difficult to understand something that you have not been through yourself, man.
That's why also when they deny when they said, don't go around, don't sneak around. They were jealous of us, or they are, maybe they just want to block our way.
Because they are old, they didn't live their lives, now they want to come and live their lives through us here.
Now they want to stay us, while their parents, they are not disturbing them. So I find myself in that cabin. That cabin in the... Most panger that oh now I cannot even pain myself until someone pain me. I survived. I did not die that to cause panger. I came out. So now I'm trying to tell someone don't go or use a socks. That don't go for because you die you get something there.
Yeah.
But then, so they said they cannot eat a sweet in the plastic.
Hey, and you're like, you must eat in the plastic. Trust me. No, you cannot rule my life.
So you want to be God.
Are you God? And they have answers, those ones. They have answers to, you could shule molela lela in your whole heart.
You know when they are responding to you, you are trying to assist in that person. Now they know how they respond. It's like, you just think that, oh, is this my son? Oh, is this my daughter? Let me try to take a rope to go hang myself. So again, you if I'll hang myself now, then these people, how will they survive?
Without you.
So but later on, I'll have high blood pressure because of them.
So are we just supposed to live our lives for our children, or must we just also live our lives for ourselves also? Do we actually take care of ourselves, or do we just care about the kids only?
No, both.
When last did you buy yourself something nice?
But the budget for the bread for that kabaki,
it's always there.
Every day is there. And you know the way how they eat those people, they eat and they straw. So, I could be to myself, I'm just watching. When I try to say that person, don't throw the bread like that, or the macaroni, that person starts crying. So later on, I feel pity again. I cannot put that person. I try, okay, let me just call him this kid. Because when she's crying or he's crying, now even my heart also is like it's breaking again. So let me just leave the way how they want. But later on, the result, it will be high blood pressure. Again, the ICU because of them. So we must just ignore them. But as long as we try our best, because we try to put pressure, we are again will be in the in that hospital. They're outside. Because right now they can hang themselves. If they kill themselves, now it will be a problem again. Maybe I thought maybe I want to control my son or my child. But now my son is just hanging up himself just like that. But tomorrow you will not do it. You do it with a limit. You want to say something bad, but you're afraid. You're afraid for your kid, for your teenager.
These kids are threatening us, man.
My dear. You cannot say, even simply your own phone.
Yeah.
You want to put rules to your smartphone.
Yeah.
They want to put rules. Like, again, the good part of us sometimes, maybe they think maybe we don't know how to use those things. Like, then there's enough knowledge to use that thing. So you get them to do what they want. Because tomorrow you are the one to regret. Again, people, my colleagues or your colleagues.
Yeah.
They say no, but I make that she killed his son or her daughter.
Because the child didn't want to listen.
We must just balance. When you see that, okay, now the son you want to respond, just go down. Maybe to be up.
But is that not living in fear, my brother? Are we not living in fear of these kids?
That's the thing. We are in fear, my dear. We are under pressure. We cannot do anything. We have to obey. It's them who must obey us, but us now we are obeying them.
But why? Is it because the world has changed now and then they have too many rights or what?
I think maybe because of the weather condition. It seems like it's receiving rain. Those days we were receiving rain on time, but now it's electric on time. So we are changing. So we must just accept.
Accept these kids the way they are terrorizing us.
But the good part, when they are with their friends, I know they always advise each other. Each other strong advice, but some don't advise them in the good way. But they always get enough advice. So maybe the way how we talk to them, we overdo. So if you overdo, you lose. So just be calm. You must under them. You must be on top of you. So whatever they want, whatever they say, try to follow. If you don't follow, you are the one who is going to pay the bill. It needs to be full. Oh. 18, he's already in prison. You are the one who is going to pay for that person.
But are you really going to pay? Me, I don't think so. The problem is with jail, it's such a 50-50 thing. Your child goes to jail, they can come out of there changed and they can say that they will never do something bad again. Or they can go inside there and just become worse.
That's the thing. So it's you. You are the key. You must handle them, Tata. Because even if they arrest that person, you try the same day you ignore that guy. It doesn't matter. But immediately, like this time, you're just full for that kid that you. What went wrong, Lakot? That thing to disturb your mind and you'll not be happy. Even when you meet your friends, you're just pretending to be happy, but
you're
not.
But you're not.
Later on, it will be. It's what? They call it good conscience.
Your conscience.
That conscience also sometimes, it can kill my dear. So we must just respect and obey them.
But me, I would not be warned by somebody that came out of me, man. Never.
I think maybe those ones, they do understand. Yes, they understand. Because I even heard you said, that boy even get A. You did not give me the finish. You're supposed to take A plus.
My dear. Hey?
A plus.
I'm telling you, in his... The thing is that I'm so proud of him this year because he is a person that went to that school, ne, not knowing how to read. And I was so worried. And then I don't know what that teacher did, ne, but that teacher worked miracles with that boy, I'm telling you. And now he's just top of his class and he's just doing great and he's still playing.
Like for mine or for other people, ne? So it's you.
Mm.
And that person wants to try to advise that person. They want to take a knife to come stab you.
Oh my goodness.
Depending on you. You are the one who is buying for that kabak every day.
Mm.
But when you want like that person, he will insult you or she will insult you.
But I think that one is teenage, man. Because we also grow out of that one. I think there at the hormones, what happens there at teenage, ne? The hormones, they are very, very bad. And they are always angry, those people. I don't know, teenagers are always angry.
So it's DNA.
It's just the stage, Mbera. Because, okay, for me, when I was a teenager, I was not a rebellious child. But I did do bad things. I did do bad things, but I was not the type of child where that gives my parents a headache.
They said we are not same, but we are same.
We are the same. We are the same, and that's why I feel like it's a universal language. To discipline children is a universal language. I think also as when you pray for the kids, when you want the kids, when you get the kids, then you are so desperate to keep the kids happy.
Or maybe because we are not socializing with them. We must be friends with them so that maybe they can respect us or they can obey us.
Mm. But also we must, I've realized that children respect people that have principles. And for us, we need to put down the foundation of principles. That is why, even if I'm going to a restaurant to go and eat out, ne? I've never in my life told my kids that I'm going out to go and eat out. Everything for them, every time I go leave the house, ne, is just work. So them, they think that their mother is just a person that works only.
Egameno jomo yerere koko marungura kalishia shike upsa kadio pau teknika oliliwo omkundo opashigwana upsa kadio paliko no hashivuro okuya moshi para uhupiro uongeshefa oshinimo mtumba go Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition omvoma vigaje miongo mbali na hamano ikondo epangero mahangano go pau mwene u ministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe oneta muisanwa muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburwa mete tekero esiko mirongo mbali naga lisiko mbali naga nega apirili mwavigali mirongo mbali naga mano ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge movenduka oshiparashi kundathanwa okuanja gane kuyerele kombinga ukoshoki wopo ungomba ano saiba hejin kene una okuironge kithira omashongo koko marungura no marongo kekopopeko jerongizo jomarungura na iru inji koneka omahangano ohandimwe ni kondo mbokata mkatu uma akaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano otamukape wa ompi ito yom tugu mwe awedho apo hasho ashikeshoka pethimbo yom tumba ogo tungoka otakukakarao VIP Cyber Gala Dinner nuyere lounji wa maisha angizo no mapura apuro kwa tasa na nayo konoraje tatu imwe onda tuya tano omgo igeali nenge ko email info@dstech.com.na nenge utarele pwe panja jao jopa ungomba ko www.dstech.com.na Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition Securing Namibia Digital Future.
They think that their mother is just a person that works only. They've never seen me drunk, they've never seen me drinking. By the time they were born, I was already done also drinking. So I think it's maybe if we can lead by example, because you cannot expect your child to not be a Casanova when you have been a Casanova your whole life. Yeah, you cannot be a person that is respect. You cannot expect your children to be respectful in the mouth when you have a reckless mouth. So maybe it's leading by example that really works with the kids, because what you see is what you get. So what you see is who I am, and I'm your role model. So you must live by the principles that I'm living by. That's why I cannot, even if I'm going to a party, I will not tell my kids that I'm going to a party. I told them one time that I was going out to a restaurant, and they were just very unhappy. They even asked me, what are you going to do there?
They know already that now mommy, that dress, or when she put that makeup, or she's going for the party.
No. But the thing is that my kids are not accustomed to me ever doing that. So even if I put on a nice dress and makeup, they never ever think that I'm going to a party. Never. Because I've never left the house saying I'm going to a party. Ever.
But they are watching you.
But I don't go out. That's the thing. I don't go out. So even to work, when I'm going out at night like this, they know I'm going to work. They've just never seen it. They've never seen me partying, I guess.
I think even now they are just praying that let's hope you will not close on time on your studio,
so that they can be playing in the house jumping. So that they can be jumping and playing and making the house dirty. Yes, they are praying that I must take a little bit longer at work.
And I think maybe the time you go back, you'll find that fridge, it's already damaged. Because they want to jog at the inside.
My dear. I don't understand why somebody, every time they walk past the fridge, they open the fridge as if something will magically appear there. They open the fridge and close the fridge. Open the fridge, close the fridge. Open the fridge. It's like...
And you are watching, you are afraid to stop them.
I keep asking. Me, mine are still small. Me, mine, I can still control them. Mine are small. So I can still control them. So me, I'm just teaching it now when they are younger. Kucha, I'm the boss. Washiri, I'm just telling every day, me, I keep telling them that these are my things. I'm sharing them with you because I love you and you are my kids. You are not entitled to my things. They are not yours. So everything they ask, everything, even if it's their yogurt, they ask. Even if it's their chips, they ask. They must ask because it is my things that I bought with my money. Then they don't go to work.
I don't think you are telling them the right thing. Like
they must learn to ask for things that are not theirs.
Telling them, no, this is my thing. You are my key. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm...
We are sharing my things. It's not those things of entitlement. Even my phone. Do you know that my kids have never played games? My phone's net. They don't even have passwords.
Well, listen to my statement.
Mm-hmm.
This is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing them with you.
Mm-hmm. Sharing them with you. Repeat again, please.
Sharing them with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
you are my...
Mm-hmm. And so I love you.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
What is the thing will come
uh-huh.
and also come share those things that you just said? Will they not say to their cousin that no, our mother used to say,
it's not a statement that is repeated all the time. It's a statement that they understand from the beginning of time. So even when their cousins come, right, they don't just squander things. They first come and then they say, Mommy, can we have yogurt? And me, I say, no, you guys are not going to have yogurt. You guys are first going to finish your food. And after you finish your food, then you guys get yogurt.
You are different.
My dear.
Like,
People are very different, but that is the principle that lives there in our house. You don't just like, and it's not with, there are certain things that are just, you can eat for mahala just like that. And then there are certain things that are, if I buy, for example, a cake, eh, I put it there. You cannot just be cutting cake, topatororara no fridge. No, my dear. You wait, then we eat together so that everybody gets. Mm-hmm. And then there are also like other things. Hey, can I please go to the movies? Can I please, can mommy, when mommy gets money, can you please buy me this other kind of shoe? Hey, can you ask. Because something that is not yours, something that is not yours is just not yours, regardless of who owns it. It's just not yours. So you must always ask so that you don't go and steal people's things.
Oh, but there, that was wrong. I just emphasize on there that that was wrong. Because to tell them it's your mother's thing, so you must what? But what if your cousin will come?
Yeah, and then cousin comes. And then cousin is just patrolling with the things and not sharing with the others. Then what? Then there's no control.
Yeah, I told that cousin of him also how I told my kid also. You know, it's different.
No, there's no reason to tell the other, to tell outsiders. There's no reason because you're not raising other people's children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you are raising your children so that your children know how to correct and dictate other children when they come. Kucha, no, here in our house, that's not how we do it.
It's my mother's thing. We only share with our mother.
No. This is not ours. You must ask mommy. Because it's not ours. You would be surprised. You would be surprised at how things go down. I'm
those
years, ne? I'm really dreading those years. Because mine are small now. So they are not in those things. They're just into cartoons. And they're not even about clothes yet. My son likes shoes, but nothing else. So they're still sweet. Every time we come home, they hug us.
But those are the people who are being disturbing big people.
It's the running, man. For me, the thing that irritates me is the running and the screaming. Ah, guys.
When they run, when you came from work, they are running, they come, give you a hug, but they are just taking the plastic.
Gold digger, Because when you don't have a plastic, they just say, it's open, the door. The door is open, mommy, you can just come in. But when you have a plastic, they run from inside all the way to the gate to come and help you, my dear. Because there's something that is most probably there for them. But when you don't have a plastic, you knock, my dear. If the door is open, mommy, you can just come in. I'm telling you. Hey, cha ilama. I'm like, ha.
But I think those were of yours, maybe you gave them strong advice, ne?
My dear, may I beat?
Because your friends, like those one of mine, immediately they think those plastic, they'll start opening. Even if you tell them, don't do this, don't do it, don't stop, they'll just pretend that, okay, like they heard you.
Mm.
But immediately go in the room to go check. Mm. You can find the, that cake, they started already putting the fingers. So you ask, who did this?
No
one. The answer just, I don't know.
I'll throw it away.
But you throw it away?
Yes.
But
that's the thing, right? If we are not taking accountability, so I come home with what? With a packet of, you know, those little chocolates? Or even a plastic of sweets. And then I put the plastic down and then I come back and then somebody opened it, but it's nobody. I'll throw the whole plastic away. Because it is contaminated, because somebody from the shop opened it, because it's not you guys, Moss. Eh? Somebody from the shop opened it and they most probably poisoned us. So we don't want to die. So we will throw it away. Now, the thing is that amongst them, there must be a snitch. There must be that one that snitches, that says, it's Eru that opened the plastic. Because they don't want the plastic to go, Moss. Then they will say, no, Elo, just tell mommy you are the one that opened the plastic. Mommy is going to throw the sweets away. Snitch. Yes, tactic, snitch. Because you don't accuse them of anything because they don't like to be accused, Moss. You don't accuse them. You just say, the people at the shop, they gave me an open plastic. Now me, I'm afraid to give my children open things because you guys will be poisoned and you will die. So now we are just going to throw this whole thing away because you guys didn't open it, Moss. So it must be the people from the shop. And we don't trust the people because it might be having poison. So let us throw the whole plastic of sweets away. And if I get until the dustbin, nobody has said anything, I'm telling you, I will open those sweets one by one, and I'll put it inside the dustbin one by one, all of them, one by one, to teach a lesson. Me, I'm an extremist.
To ladies, they are fine, but to us men, they know already that us, we cannot do anything.
No, but you should just apply the principles. Apply the principles. That's it.
Try, because even the smartphone, you see that if the mom said, don't touch my phone, they will not touch it.
My dear, my phone has never touched me. Me, I don't know what it feels like to have a child that is on my phone the whole time. No.
So I don't know.
Because my phone is my office. If my phones are tampered with and are played with, then we don't eat. So we don't play with our food. Hence why we are not playing with my phone. And it is my phone, please. You guys can also just grow up and get your phones. For my son's birthday, he got a phone for his birthday because he has been doing well this year and all of that. So we got him a phone. So he has been anticipating a phone so he can be playing his games. The problem is that he's not actually responsible enough to have a cell phone because he forgets his phone. Like now he forgot his phone at his father's house. He forgot it. Now who forgets cell phones?
His father is like, there is freedom that side. You know, like us, okay, we can talk, but we forgive on time. But like you ladies, everything is comparison.
Nobody wants to have a bad child.
You hear that? I'm going to take the phone for daddy. If mommy, she don't want to give me the phone, I'm going to take for my father.
Then
you will take it. Or
change
take
the
it.
Password.
You know
change the password and you say no. No, you change the password. You as father, you change the password. And then the thing is that, I believe that, many of us are not in unity when parenting. That's why the children can parcella us. One cannot say no and then the other one goes and says yes. Regardless of what you guys are talking about, right? Don't show weakness in front of the children. Ever. You guys must always be a united front. Otherwise, those children will walk all over you. Like with us, if it is no from one side, there's no, I'm going to ask your mother, I'm going to ask your father. It's just no.
But now us, we are afraid that if I'll do this, I'll say no to my son. That boy will not feel comfortable.
Why does he have to be comfortable, Ano? He's your child. He doesn't need to be comfortable. He needs to have his constitutional rights met. A name, shelter, food, education, those basic needs. And that's it. Everything else is a luxury.
There's also mental disturbance to start working also.
No. The children, they just get accustomed to it. And that is why, at the end of the day, we are breeding people that don't want to take no for an answer because their parents have never been people that can say no.
That thing that you are saying is making us
do wrong decisions, you buy for the smartphone.
Mm-hmm. I can't hear you.
So you buy for me a phone, a 2 or 3 or 4 year.
Too young.
Listen, okay, let me start from 7, 8, 9, 10. Mm. You know, you buy for him that phone. You know, in our days, you think it's just for game. That phone is just for game.
Mm.
And you go away by Facebook, Instagram, now, YouTube, start watching those people that smoke, drink, what, they are around 10 years old, 11 years, they no enjoyment. No bit of enjoyment, drinking, what. They will come to you like, no, Femi, what is this? It's wrong. But obviously, you tell them, no, it's wrong. Don't do this, you what. Him or her will ask herself the question that, no, if it's wrong, why is this people doing it?
But with those ones, it's also an easy conversation. Many of us think that children are stupid. Children are not stupid. You just show them the consequences.
So what about us when we were growing?
When we were growing, us, we didn't grow up with smartphones and we still did bad things.
In grade 8, grade 9, I don't know, smartphone.
Well, there were no smartphones that time. Ow. Motorola color screen is smartphone. Yeah, 3310 is smartphone. There was no smartphone that time. Yeah. Smartphone came now after we finished high school, a long time. Maybe when we were in university, that's when smartphones came. As we didn't have smartphones.
We are confusing our kids.
As we are confusing our kids with the smartphones.
Definitely. Because check.
Yeah.
You give that smartphone, like I said.
Yeah.
They will start doing wrong things with that smartphone.
But it also depends on the type of child that you are having.
It will never happen. They will start, even if you tell them, don't. They will do it, maybe when they reach there around, maybe when you say 20 years, 19, they will start doing things, to be honest. They will not do it.
But that's the age most for doing things anyways.
What do you mean?
Smoke? That is the age for doing things. How?
Smoke, drink alcohol.
Smoking and drinking alcohol depends on where you come from also. Because if... No. It really honestly does depend on where you come from and how people have perceived the world. Now, if you are coming from a Christian house, ne, and your mother is beating you with the Bible every day and calling you a demon and calling people that are drinking and smoking demons, the likelihood of you going out there to go and do these things, right, to rebel against your parent is very high. Or for you to go out there and stay away from these things, it's also very high. It's a 50-50 chance. But it also depends on the type of communication that you have with your kids. You must never tell children that this is wrong. You must tell children the consequences of things. Consequences. Just consequences.
Those things that you are talking about right now, ne?
Yeah.
If you talk, alcohol. Will make you what if you drink. Nothing also will affect in this way.
Yeah.
You tell them.
Yeah.
Or ask themselves such questions like,
yeah,
but they are doing it.
Then you explain. If it's internet things, then you explain. Especially, you explain that people are misleading other people into doing bad things because of views. We are in a social media life where everybody will do anything for views, even sell their souls for views.
At morning time, you come by your gate and you see the neighbors are also smoking what you saw on the internet.
Yeah.
Then you go there and ask, But my mom told me what. They were also telling, oh, it's fine. The mom just lied.
Yes, but that is the danger of being here. That is part of being here. That is part of our experiences. We can't block our children from going to experience the world in whatever way that they receive it. You understand? The best we can do is do our best as parents. That's it. There's no place where we can say, "Kucha, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be a great parent and I'm going to do this and I'm going to be a great parent." We just teach the best values and the best, and we show them the best versions of ourselves, right? And when they are finally ready to go into the world, we hope and pray that they have taken the best qualities from us.
Huh.
Yeah.
Just say whatever happens.
Because even us, there are things that we do that we were not exposed to in our houses. There are things we do that we are not exposed to in our houses, but we do them because, and it doesn't mean that our parents are bad people. It just means that we have free will. We have a choice. We hope and pray that we make the correct choices going through life, but it is really somebody else's life. At the end of the day, our children's lives is not our life. They are going to grow up and they are going to have their own thoughts and own opinions. If somebody can tell you today, ne, that, "Mommy, I don't like peanut butter." That is a human being on their own. They don't like peanut butter. That's it.
It
seems like it is normal, right? But that is choice.
Exactly.
Yes, and that same choice is the one that will go all the way to when they are old enough to decline the cigarette or to accept the cigarette, to decline the weed or to accept the weed, to decline the alcohol or accept the alcohol, to decline the gambling or accept the gambling, to decline the women or accept the women, to decline the men or accept the men.
You know, Sam, but let me just say, it depends where you stay, where you live, the area you understand.
That is for when you are younger. But the thing is that nobody is trapped in the environment where they come from. Because the person that comes from the good environment and the person that comes from the bad environment, they still go and meet at school. They still go and meet at church. They still go and meet at the shop. They still go and meet at in town. They still go and meet at the office.
The problem I have kids that I know that they were also in a way that you are saying they lived in just that environment that you are talking about right now.
Mm.
But now how they are different. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because at the end of the day we make our own choices. That's it has to be different. There's one that is different and there's one that is exactly the same. Just like trauma. You guys can be in a car accident together, yeah, with somebody. Same time, same place, same accident, same people died in front of you, same injuries, right? You guys can be in that and you can still go on with your life, go and buy a car, still be speeding, still be drinking and driving, and it didn't affect you. Whereby your neighbor, yeah, the one that was in the car with you, he cannot drive a car anymore in his life because he's scared. He cannot be in a car that is speeding because he's scared. He cannot even, he doesn't even want to see cars anymore in his life.
That I know.
And,
okay.
And and that's what I'm saying, that we can grow up there, but the way we receive things and interpret things, it's all just within us ourselves.
No, my point was like, my point was to give a 10-year-old boy old youth is wrong. That's what I'm saying. That was my point.
Or to give him a cell phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why 10 years old?
Mm.
Eh?
And that is up to you and your opinion, and it is okay. That's what I'm saying, that is absolutely okay.
Fine. to you. It's not wrong.
No, to me, it's absolutely correct. It's absolutely fine. It's his birthday gift. He uses it in the weekends. There are boundaries and there are restrictions on the phone. Everything is put in place so that he is not exposed to the things that we don't want him to be exposed to. And it's also something that can be taken away if there is a malfunction in his behavior or he does anything. It's there.
Doing that, if you see he's going to that level of now getting into it that much, you'll be able to control the kid now. Because even if you don't give him the phone, nowadays, those kids are leaving window. You know, they'll hunt for his, they'll go, you know, you just see him tomorrow morning having a phone. Where did you get that phone? No, it's my first phone. I want to come do what, download movies. I want to come what.
I know, like, how old, like, 9 year olds are not like that.
I have a 9 year old.
What grade is your 9 year old?
Grade 8.
No.
What do you mean?
9 year olds are in grade 3.
They're 14 years old.
Yeah, 14 year old and 9 year old are two different people.
Yeah? Be honest. Even an 8 year old, they know Instagram.
Okay. And that is most now for a child that is exposed. And that's okay. They even know TikTok and that is okay.
I'll ask my kid, how do you know TikTok? TikTok, why do you get a TikTok?
Why?
Instagram, we are on Instagram.
Huh? Okay, but what is happening there on Instagram?
Maybe it's mean skate.
Oh, but that's the thing. Your child is at puberty. Your child is almost a teenager. Your child is a teenager, 14. From 13, they are already teenagers. Teenagers are at that age. You'll not give a phone and they'll be texting from your phone. And that's why you're being held hostage for your cell phone, Moss. But the thing is that each parent parents differently and it's okay.
If you want to use my phone for school, yes. Use my phone or download something or search.
Yeah.
Text your aunties.
Text their aunties.
I'll call. Which auntie do you want to talk to?
Their aunties.
Then I'll call. Then I'll give you the one just.
It's not a problem. It's not a big deal. It is really just to each their own.
And for what? To greet?
Yeah. To each their own. At the end of the day, we cannot really crucify others for their household dealings.
Those days we were fine, man.
Were we really fine? Did we turn out great? I don't think we turned out great. I think we are a hot mess.
Some of us.
Okay.
Don't you think so?
I think that maybe we should just learn how to communicate honestly with children.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, just honest.
Yeah, that's the main point.
That's honestly. And not just warnings. You know, when you speak bad about something, there is somebody that's speaking good about it. Now they want to go and see and experience to compare the conversations of bad and good. But, my brother, I have to love and leave you. Ciao, ciao.